We're still in the Gospel of John. Our text this evening is chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. John 18, 28 to 40. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. Now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. We have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words of Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your own people and the chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Now, the observation of the Passover has two directions to it. Obviously, it looks back to the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt. Having been designed by God himself, he ordered the Jews to keep it according to very specific details of how to slaughter the lamb and when and how it's to be eaten and all of that. The application then of the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. This is God's method of extracting his people from within the strongest nation on earth at the time. So by looking back, the Passover celebrates redemption and praises the God of redemption. It was commanded as an annual celebration, but was greatly neglected, really throughout much of their history. Its other direction was forward. It was a type and forecast of the coming Redeemer. John the Baptist announced Jesus as the Lamb of God, an obvious allusion to the Passover lamb. Just as the Passover blood protected those in the house, so the blood of this lamb takes away the sin of the world and protects us from the wrath of God. The chief priests and scribes were intent on celebrating the Passover, so much so they wouldn't enter Pilate's hall. They would be defiled by a Gentile, so they avoided his palace. Rather, he comes out to them, and they bring their case against Jesus that way. But get the irony of that. They were intent on remaining clean for the Passover while attempting to get the Lord of the Passover, the divine Redeemer, condemned to die. They were so interested in the particularities of the law that they missed the meaning of it. Let's make sure we're clean according to the law while we plot and conspire to kill the lawgiver. But it's a double irony. As Jesus is condemned at their insistence and Pilate's complicity, he goes eventually to the cross, and it is there he becomes the archetype of the Passover. He is our Passover lamb. But it's our irony too. We too struggle continually to find integrity. Hypocrisy can sneak its way into any aspect of our lives in a flash. It's not always blatant like the priests here at Jesus' trial, but blatant or not, we need to search our hearts for hypocrisy and weed it out wherever we find it. We can so easily get all wrapped up in all sorts of legalisms and things like that, just like these Jewish leaders, and miss the essence of grace. We can easily pretend that all is well and put on a good face when God and his word have not been a significant part of our thinking, maybe for a day or two or a week or a month. The irony comes in when the only man to ever live his entire life in absolute integrity takes upon himself the hypocrisy of those opposed to him and pays its penalty. Actually, it goes beyond irony, doesn't it? It goes to infinite grace. But there was a bold injustice going on here. Pilate asked then, well, what are the charges? The response of the priest is almost amusing. They offer no charges at all. They respond, if we were not a criminal, we would not have brought him to you. Now, what kind of answer is that? Well, we think he's worthy of death, therefore he is, essentially is their answer. It's the mentality of a lynch mob. Well, this really was very much a lynch mob. If you recall, they tried to trump up charges against him, but were not able to do so properly. So the issue now becomes blasphemy. Pilate couldn't care less about some internal squabble that was going on between the Sanhedrin and this itinerant prophet. It's almost like some dyed-in-the-wool Republican taking a case to the UN because some Democrat said Ronald Reagan was the worst president we ever had. What would the response of the UN be? So, who cares? That's your issue. Deal with it. As a matter of fact, Pilate's response is a bit more refined than that, but of the same essence. Go judge him by your own law. That's of no concern to me. Issues of blasphemy and religion should have been judged by the Jews, but they no longer had the authority to condemn anyone to death. That was held by the Roman government. Therefore, they had to come to Pilate to have him sanction the execution. Now, the law of God does require death for blasphemy. In Leviticus 24, we read, the son of an Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse, the name meaning the name of God, with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shalomith, the daughter of Dibri the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of Yahweh must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born, when he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. That's a serious issue. And they, by their own law, by God's law, they could arrive at a death penalty for that. But could they prove blasphemy? They thought they had a case of blasphemy. But that's because they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and therefore the Son of God. There were no witnesses called to verify Jesus' claim that he was Messiah, nor was he given the opportunity to do so. Think of the crowd of folks that could have lined up to testify on his behalf. Any one of the 5,000 plus who were there when he multiplied the loaves and the fish. The man with the withered hand, the man born blind, the helpless man by the pool, the leper, the demoniac, Jairus and his daughter, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, maybe even the high priest's servant that Peter chopped off his ear. They could testify to his divine power and his gracious compassion. So could those who marched into the city a week before in procession, proclaiming him to be the Son of David. The gross injustice of this whole deal is astounding. We commented that the other week. He was captured at night, judged to be guilty by the Sanhedrin without a proper trial, and now brought to Pilate for his confirmation. It's amazing. Pilate, to his credit, pronounces that he finds no fault in him. Sure, there might be a squabble within the context of Jewish law, but certainly nothing worthy of Roman execution. Neither Pilate nor Herod were able to find any guilt in him. Certainly nothing worthy of death. Actually, Pilate said that. But he is indeed the blessed king. Now, his kingship is questioned. Pilate asks Jesus if he is the king of the Jews. In turn, Jesus wants to know how he came up with that question. Certainly an issue in which Roman government had an interest. Is this some sort of insurrection that's going to cause trouble? Does this fellow pose a threat to the Pax Romana? Now, his kingship was previously prophesied and proclaimed. We read in Genesis 49, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." So kingship belonged to the tribe of Judah, and a king would come to whom it actually belongs. Psalm 2, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and their rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, Messiah. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the world your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you are destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him." That's the king that Pilate is dealing with. And as I said, just a few days previous, a large crowd in the capital city were proclaiming Jesus as king and son of David. Now, Jesus, if you recall, rebuked Peter in the garden for attempting to use his sword when he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. His kingdom is not advanced by military means. Human governments are important, but they're not the stuff of the kingdom of Christ. Christ's kingdom is advanced by a proclamation of the truth, the proper use of the sacraments, along with works of mercy and compassion. Christ's kingdom was not diminished at all decades ago when the communists took over China. Didn't affect the kingdom of God at all. Nor is he dependent now today on the wisdom, the wealth, the ingenuity of the United States to accomplish his ends. A tyrant can conquer the whole world, and yet never capture the kingdom of Christ, much less its king. "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." I believe that Pilate did not know what to make of what Jesus was saying. How do you hear him asking, "What is truth?" With a genuine inquiry, "What is truth?" Or with disdain, "What is truth?" You can't tell by the letters on the page. But all Pilate knew was earthly kingdoms and the ebb and flow of human power. But standing before him was a king who wielded infinite power. But he didn't advance his kingdom through military might. His rule is a spiritual rule over the hearts of those who are part of his church. There was no way that Pilate was going to comprehend that message there on this particular day. But this king, this glorious king that was prophesied, is rejected. Look at verse 39. "But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" He shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. The real insurrectionist, or more accurately, the terrorist, is released and the Prince of Peace is held. They were so enraged with Jesus that no plea bargain would suffice. The scribes and the priests were out for nothing short of Jesus' life. You know, I wonder, and have often wondered about Barabbas. We're not told whatever became of him. There was a movie made, I was still a teenager when it came out. It was made by Bob Jones University, actually called Wine of Mourning. And it was a fictitious story, but about Barabbas, and that he, in fact, became a believer and that sort of thing. But we wonder about him. Whatever became of him? What was his stance toward Jesus? Jesus took his place on the cross. He was his literal substitute, just as he is for us spiritually. Now, we've led our own rebellions to some degree. We've resisted our King too, many times. But he patiently goes to the cross as a substitute for everyone who trusts in him and dies their death and pays their penalty. There he makes reconciliation with God for each one. So as we come to him with our hypocrisy, our injustice, and all the mess of our lives, he doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. Rather, he bears our penalty, grants us his perfect righteous record to be our position before God. If indeed we come humbly before him and in faith, trusting in him and his work for us. Now that's a substitute that you can live with. That's a substitute you can live with eternally. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that he endured for us. The whole injustice of it all. But yet he goes there knowing full well what the outcome will be. But he goes there because he has loved us. And he deals with all of that with great love and compassion toward us. So we thank you for him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were patient and dealt with all of this so that you could accomplish our redemption. So Lord, we pray that you would stir those things deep into our hearts, and that they would lay out for us a better plan for our lives, lives of integrity, lives of love and compassion. So work those things in us, we pray, and we ask it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.